This is the news, according to me. It is the news, at least as far as you know, according to me. December the 18th, today, day 45 of the executive order. We'll get into that a little bit. Yes, I'm coming to you live from a recorded broadcast, unscripted, unedited. This is raw, ad-free. No advertisements on this show. It's just me and a microphone. That's right. And you're getting my thoughts on the news. One thing that's burning, kind of in the burning news this morning, at least as far as I'm concerned, which is why you're here, to hear what my opinion is on this news stuff. I really would like to hear from all of you, seriously, on what you think about my opinions. I know that's, you know, enough about me. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you think about me. So this whole thing here that's going on with Joe Biden, this was some interesting news this morning. It was a little bitty blip on the radar of the news. And in my opinion, this is probably a lot bigger than what's being said, because I have to take a sip. This is a cliffhanger. Tea. The Pentagon. My understanding is the Pentagon. Pentagon. I'm going through the change. It's either the Defense Department or something that they've stopped Joe Biden's defense briefings. They've put a halt on Joe Biden's defense briefings. Folks, that seems a little bit odd to me. It really does. And I don't know exactly what that means, but it seems rather significant to me. I might have the actual video here. Let's see if I can. I'll try to pull it up while we're sitting here. Because I have this thing right here. Let's see if I can connect to it and connect my recording system to this and make it work. For some reason, it's not. That's got to be turned on, I believe. There we go. Okay. That might work. Sorry, I keep banging the microphone. Yeah, this is a high-class operation. This isn't exactly the golden EIB microphone I'm standing behind. This is the Kmart Blue Light Special, if anybody remembers the Blue Light Specials that were going on before. Well, it's not connecting. I don't know why. But I'll try that. That might work. And there it goes. Okay. It's still not connected. Well, anyway, I wanted you to hear this, and maybe I can just play it from here. This might work, actually. So we'll.
Yo, this is according to Axios, by the way. Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller has ordered a Pentagon-wide halt to cooperation with the transition of President-elect Biden. This is a member of the team pausing the transition process with the Biden team. It's a move that has evidently shocked officials across the Defense Department. What we're trying to figure out at this point is why this is happening. Is this something to do with politics? Is this something to do with, the hesitation to believe the results of the election? Does this have something to do with what's going on right now with Russia and the hacking? We don't have a clear idea of that from what we've been able to figure out. But this is Axios reporting this. But the Pentagon has halted their work with the Biden transition team at this point. We're going to follow this story, see if we can figure out what's going on here. We'll bring it to you as soon as we can.
In the meantime, let's get to it.
So that is what has been announced. Now, that was from Axios. It was a report by Newsmax on what Axios had uncovered. And, of course, they're saying that might have to do something to do with Russia. Well, Again, Russia. Now, Joe Biden was also involved with Burisma, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. Maybe they've discovered something there. I have the feeling this has more to do with China. The hacking that happened was very much deeper than what the news media is telling you. There was a major hack in this country through this whole solar winds thing that is much bigger than what they're telling you. So I'm not exactly sure, but it seems to me that there's something serious going on there, and they, for some reason, they're excluding Joe Biden from that. Here is a theory I'd like to put out there, and this is where it gets a little crazy. If we were to, if something were to happen to Joe right now, to Joe Biden, the presumptive president, not the president-elect. He's not the president-elect until January 6th. And in my opinion, he's not the president-elect until the morning of January 20th, before the signing, before the swearing-in, if that ever happens. So if something were to happen to him, what happens with... finally fixed my phone. I've been a little distracted here during the show, but finally got that to connect. What happens if he, for some reason, something happens to him? So let's say he's incapacitated or he passes away. Say he gets the Rona and he's gone. Or he just completely, has a stroke and something happens and he's incapacitated. Most people think that immediately Carmella will step into his place. That is not the case. And the way I understand it is the DNC at that point, until the election or until the swearing in, they can actually put anybody they want to in. The slate is open at that point. The natural progression would be, the thought is that Carmella would step into that position and then she would appoint a vice president. However, that is not the rules. The way I understand it is, the DNC has the authority on that, whether they approve that or not. Now, they may put her in because they probably chose her as a VP to begin with. So that's probably what's going to happen there. But in all reality, the DNC could put Hillary Clinton in. Or they could put Carmella in as the president and Hillary in as the VP, which would be an interesting fight over who ends up committing suicide first before they get to the end of the fourth year. They could put anybody in there. And that is actually the rules as I understand them. I may be way off on that, and maybe it's past time for that to happen. I know that during the primary, after the primary vote, when Joe won the primary, they can put anybody in it that they want. My understanding is that remains the same even after the election. So it's all a bunch of finagling and politicking at that point in terms of who wins and who gets in and how they finagle all that. They could end up sticking Bernie Sanders in or Hillary Clinton or Mickey Mouse. Might as well. He's probably more qualified. So that is the way I understand it at this point. Now, moving on from that, let's go back to this whole thing about two things. One is the DNI, of course, has now delayed their report. There's a lot of speculation about whether or not that report has to be public. It's possible that the president could receive a DNI report before the 45 days, and it doesn't have to be publicized. So that report may already be there. Now, they're saying it won't happen until January. Why it takes them 2 weeks to compile a report that basically they know now what's in the report. There's just a lot of politicking going on behind the scenes. That's what's happening. So my opinion is they probably have to wait for some people to leave or something being shuffled around. My guess is that some resignations had to happen. There's 2 weeks, resign time, all that kind of stuff. Maybe it has something to do with Bill Barr. He's going to be taking Christmas off and be effectively gone by the end of December, so maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe January 1st is when they. I just don't know. It's there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes right now that seem to be very suspicious. And in terms of, I'm not saying nefarious, I'm just saying causing reason for the bubbling up of things happening does not make sense with a normal transition or even a normal non-transition. It's just a lot of maneuvering that I've never seen before in a transition period. So that is, I would say that is where the crux of my questions are today. Now, the other question is, there are some senators now that are finally coming out. Jim Jordan is one of them. He's a congressman. He's in the House. And there are some senators, though, that have made it clear that they're going to protest the ballots, the electors' votes. So this is an interesting case of what can happen here. Now, this is the way I understand it. If, let's say, Ted Cruz decides he's going to contest the electors of Georgia, and he makes his protest, that gives him 2 hours to debate it on the floor, on the Senate floor. Now, Mitch McConnell has come out and said, oh, I don't want anybody to come out and make any shenanigans. I don't know whether he used the word shenanigans or not, but he doesn't want any hanky-panky going on January 6th. I'm sorry, Mitch, but our representatives speak for us, not for you or what you want. Okay, you might be the Senate majority guy, but the voice comes from the people, and those people who are there to speak for me, not for you and what you want to have happen in the Senate. This is the problem with the current Congress that we have right now. They get elected on what they say and proclaim and everything that they do here. They get popular, they get the votes, they get into office, and then it becomes their own little private personal agenda that they want to run on, that they want to spout out and make their maneuvers, or they just stay quiet and take their pay and talk about the problem we have here in Indiana. We have a particular representative here who wants to talk about veterans' needs and military and all the easy stuff. It's easy for everybody to get behind that, left and right. Never any word about anything else. When the stimulus package came up the first time and they wanted to spend all this money, right away we had to throw a bunch of money at it. Of course, that solved the problem, didn't it? No, it didn't. And then it just became a political football from that point on. There's a whole reason why the unemployment extra payments and all the other stuff that happened expired in October, because the elections are in November. Why do you think they made it expire in October? It had to become a voting issue. It had to become an election issue. That was not done because of us, because they cared about us. And they knew that in the fall there was going to be a second wave. So what did they do? They came up with the plan to make it another political issue. And of course, Nancy Pelosi thinks she was successful in making it an issue, but now she can change it because now there's a new president. So now she can move forward with the spending a bunch more money, billions and trillions of dollars. By the way, $2 trillion is enough. There's about 100 million households in the country, whether that's, and the average household has, I think, 2.3 people in it or something like that. I don't know. Or 2.3 kids. It's whatever the average household number is. So you get to the population. If you add all that up, it's the population of about 320 million. And if you just, you know, divide that up for every household of every American, there's about 100 million households, maybe a little bit more than that, 105, something like that. So that's how many households there are. If you took that $2 trillion, you could pay every household, every family, whatever's considered a family, $20,000. How much did we get? Well, if you and your spouse both qualify, you got $1,200. Where'd the rest of that money go? Well, I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from our pockets, but it's not coming back to our pockets. This is the problem. And here's the whole thing about this, all this stupid stimulus stuff. They're paying people with money that they take from the people. Now, whether or not they directly tax you or not doesn't matter. So they say, well, we're going to get that money from corporate taxes. Doesn't matter. The corporations, the places we buy products from, pass that expense on to us. So we're going to pay more for items, the goods and services that we purchase. It'll be put into that. And then we'll blame the corporations for spending, you know, costing too much money. Well, then they'll pick and choose who gets tax breaks and who doesn't. So then they get to pick the winners and losers based on who their lobbyist gets the most money from. This whole system is really gotten so corrupt. The underbelly of Washington is so corrupt that it almost makes my throat kind of, I think I just threw up a little bit in my throat. It is really sickening. I remember one time I used to be an airline pilot. Well, I guess I still am an airline pilot. I was flying into Reagan National one time, and there's this one approach where you fly right down by the Washington Monument, and you're flying, if you're the captain, you're looking off to the left side, and you're looking out the window, and there's the Washington, you're basically about the same altitude as the top of that thing. You're looking over at it, and you're kind of following just on the inside of the river, just across the river is the whole White House thing and the whole Capitol. And so you're flying in there, and you make this kind of right turn as you're coming down to land, and right at the very end, you're kind of coming out of the turn and flaring and landing. It's really a cool approach. I really love the approach in there. And you're looking over and seeing one day I was looking over there, and I made the comment about, oh, the amount of corruption and oozing goos underneath the belly of that place. And then we went on and landed. It just popped out of my mouth. And it was just one of those things where you realize there is so much going on that is just disgusting in Washington. And I don't know, I don't know what we can do about it other than just, and I think that the fact that, Trump may not be the guy that is, I would have for a pastor, certainly not. But he certainly wasn't part of the establishment, certainly wasn't part of that thing we call the swamp in Washington. And I think that's why they don't like him there. There's so many things connected to all of that, and there's so much about all of that we could talk about. But, it's disgusting and frustrating. So, leave me a comment. If you can comment on, if you see me on Facebook, on The News According to Me on Facebook, or you can find me on, you can also just send me an email at epicvideoaboutnothing@gmail.com. You can send me an email there. That's a good place to email me. You can also find me you can follow me on Parler. I post my podcasts on there. You can also find me on YouTube at TNA, the number 2, and then me. So TNA to me on YouTube. And that's, all I do on there is post a quick blurb about the link in the description for the podcast, because I can't put this kind of content on YouTube or I get censored. That's my workaround for working with YouTube. Once again, thanks for listening. And thanks for subscribing, liking, sharing, commenting, all those things that we do. This is kind of the end of the week. I don't know if I'm going to get another show in today or not. I may have a weekend broadcast if I can pull that off over the weekend, especially if anything significant happens, get my commentary on that. So this is kind of news and commentary by me at this point. Because it's the news, according to me, and that's what it is, because that's what it is. Well, here's another thing I just want to leave you with, and I know this show's gone a little bit longer than normal, just because it's probably going to be the only show I do. I was able to get my my phone. This is the phone. A what? The phone. All right, this is, for those of you who used to watch Pink Panther, this is what is really interesting here. Let's see if I can pull this up. That's not it, and that's not it. This is it. Let's see if I can actually play this.
The Texas case was brought up. He said he heard screaming through the walls as Justice Roberts and the other liberal justices were insisting that this case not be taken up when Justice Thomas and Justice Alito were citing Bush versus Gore from John Roberts were, I don't give a about that case. I don't want to hear about it. At that time, we didn't have riots. So what he was saying was that he was afraid of what would happen if they did the right thing. And I'm sorry, but that is moral cowardice.
Moral cowardice, that is exactly what it is. If that's the reason, if this, I've heard from a couple different reports that this was going on at the SCOTUS, at the Supreme Court, that basically Roberts stepped in and stopped the three junior justices, which would be Barrett, Gorsuch, and what's the other guy's name? Gorsuch and Kavanaugh stepped in and basically told them how they were going to vote because they're afraid of riots. Well, let me tell you something. Riots are one thing. Civil war is another. And what I'm hearing on the chatter from every place I'm reading about stuff going on, I know there's a lot of blowhards out there, a lot of saber rattling, but there are probably a good million people out there who are not afraid. And I'll tell you what, some of them are military trained, well trained, know what they're doing, and they know the Constitution. I would not put it past some of these people. I'm not one who would support this. But I'll tell you what, I can understand why they're thinking about doing this, because either the politicians have to step up and do something about this and cause a problem and maybe risk having some riots, having some junior high kids throw tantrums in the streets and burn down the dollar stores, or there's going to be people hanging from trees. I mean, it's not going to be pretty. And that kind of insurrection, you know, the riots are one thing. If there's an armed insurrection against our government, it opens us up at that moment to an attack from our enemies from without. If we start to crumble to that point from within, this is where civil war will lead. If Russia and China and Iran know we're at civil war here, it's a perfect time for them to gang up on us. They could crush us at that moment because we are not ready for that. That's my opinion. So, politicians, if you're listening, you need to step up, bite the bullet, do something about this. Don't be afraid of the riots and what it's going to do to your career, because you won't have a career. And the riots won't matter. There's still going to be riots. There still are riots today. Their guy won, supposedly. That's what I want to leave you with today. If you made it this far into the podcast, I appreciate it. And let me know what you think. I'm not trying to incite anything. I'm not trying to encourage anything. I don't support it. I'm just saying they better start listening and take the lesser of two bad ways out of this thing. Because I'm telling you, if once you've seen this stuff, you can't unsee it. Once you've seen the fraud and you've seen the corruption and the whole hoax that was this election, you can't unsee it. And I don't care which side of the—I was listening to Black Conservative Patriot this morning, BCP, and he put out a report right before a Rush came on. And he said he had a friend who was a doctor, and the doctor knows that there was a lot of corruption in this election, but he doesn't care. He's glad that Biden won and Biden needed to win, and he's going to ignore it. He's choosing to ignore it and moving on. And of course, his name is actually Trey, but he said, you know what? The guy's not my friend anymore. The guy is an enemy to the country, and I'm not going to be his friend. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. And that's at the point where, you know, you got to draw that line at some point, because people who are okay with this and choose to ignore it and want to move on, Chris Christie, in my opinion, they are enemies of the state. They are enemies of the people, not even the state. They're not their status. They're not enemies. They are enemies of the Constitution and of the people at this point. Because you cannot look in the face of this and turn away from it and say, well, it doesn't matter. We just have to ignore it and move on and try to fix it in the future. No, we fix it now or it'll never be fixed. It will never be fixed. I mean, it is already fixed. It's rigged, as in fixed, rigged. All right, I've gone long enough. This is almost 30 minutes. This is longer than a Rush intro table. So it's, yeah. Once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. And I do appreciate all of you a lot. And really seriously, let me know what you think about all these opinions I have. If I'm crazy, if I should be in a rubber room, which I actually am in a rubber room here in the studio. It's pretty much just, yeah, pretty much a foam pad all around me. Maybe I just need to stay here. Good place for me to be. Have a great weekend. Once again, thanks for being here, and God bless you.